Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Naso. This week, Rabbi Alex Israel discusses Naso. Rabbi Alex Israel is a member of the Pardes faculty. And now, Rabbi Alex Israel.
Thank you, Larry. Welcome, everybody, to this podcast. And this week, we're going to speak about Parshat Naso. And the story of the Nazirite, the Nazir, the Nazarene, some people call him. We're talking about a man or a woman, it says specifically Ish or Isha, man or woman, who takes a vow to become a Nazir. That means to enter into a certain group or as an individual to refrain from a whole bunch of different things. They're not allowed to drink wine or even not to have grapes. They're also never allowed to become impure, not even to their closest relatives. If their relatives pass away, they're not allowed to attend the funeral or what have you. And more than that, they are not allowed to cut their hair. And these are the rules of the Nazir. Now, this becomes certainly perplexing. Sometimes we think about various personalities who may appear to be somewhat like Nazirites, for example, Samson, Shimshon, or possibly the rabbis talk about Shmuel Hanavi. But the Torah does not give us a great assessment of whether this is a positive or a negative thing. It leaves us a few clues. On the one hand, it sounds like some of the laws here of the Nazirite accord with a priest, what a priest has to do. For example, the high priest is not allowed to become impure. A priest, a Kohen, when he goes into the temple, is not allowed to drink wine. If he drinks wine, he makes his service disqualified. So we have a situation in which it's possible the Nazir would want to enter into that status, almost to take on, even though he's not born as a Kohen, as a priest, he wants to take on a special sacred status. And indeed, that might well be the idea, even of cutting his hair, of leaving his hair long, even though the Kohen, the regular priest, has to cut his hair on a regular basis so that he looks neat and tidy, and well kept. It's interesting that the high priest wears something called a tzitz. He wears a sort of a head plate on his forehead with the words "Holy to God, Kodesh Lashem." The Nazir, by keeping his hair long, actually grows what is known in Ezekiel as tzitzit roshi, dreadlocks, related to the word of tzitz, head threads. And it possibly could be that this is indeed emulating the Kohen. Is the Nazir seen as a positive thing or a negative thing? This is a debate amongst the earliest commentators, amongst the Tanaim. And we find an argument between Rabbi Elezer HaKapar, on the one hand, and one of the other Tanaim, the plain Rabbi Eliezer, where one says that the Nazirite is doing something wrong. The Nazirite is separating himself from wine. Where does he prove this from? That when the Nazirite finishes his period, however long he vowed, maybe he vowed for 30 days or to be a Nazirite for a year, when he comes back to regular society and he's fulfilled his days of being a Nazir, he brings a series of sacrifices, including a sin offering, a chatat. And why would he bring a sin offering? Says Rabbi Elezer HaKapar, what has he sinned? The answer is that he denied himself, he abstained from wine. And this is a kal vachomer. This should be an inference, which is if he only kept himself away from wine, he is considered a sinner, somebody who keeps him away from other material things, all the more so. And therefore, he says, anyone who sits in a state of fasting, anybody who thinks that the way of Judaism is a path of self-denial and abstinence, they are a sinner. So why did the Torah give us the laws of the Nazir? I guess it could be that somebody who feels that maybe they need a time out of society, they need to take a break, they need to keep away from, possibly a partying lifestyle, keep away from wine. They need a sort of a remedial, medicinal path. They need to go into a rehabilitatory framework of the Nazir, but it's only a temporary period. And this way they, so to speak, heal themselves. They have a period possibly of temporary priesthood, and they come back to society. But says Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, this is a very, very bad thing. Of course, healthy people do not take medicine. We would prefer to be without this. This is not an ideal lifestyle for the Jew. The Nazirite is a temporary state of being, but it is not an ideal state of being. And therefore, we have the statement attached to this of Shmuel, that whoever constantly fasts is a sinner. We mustn't abstain. We mustn't practice self-denial. That's one view in the commentaries. However, there is a contrasting view, and that is that of Rabbi Elazar. And Rabbi Elazar says, you're totally wrong. The Nazir, by the way, the word Nazir is related phonetically to the word Nezer, which seems to mean a crown. He is crowned. And he talks about the verse here in chapter 6, which says, Kadosh Yihyeh, he will be holy when he grows his hair long. And he says, what are you talking about? Rabbi Elazar says, he is holy. This person who only denied himself wine, he's just denied himself one thing, is called holy. Somebody who practices denial in a wider sphere is definitely called holy. In fact, Rabbi Elazar wants to claim that somebody who, that it is recommended in Judaism to be ascetic, to withdraw from this worldly pleasures, and this degree of maybe what some people would call Puritanism is recommended for the Jew. This is an argument which takes us back to the 2nd century CE. This is an argument which is almost 2,000 years old, and you have different scholars looking at the Nazir and some saying he's doing a terrible thing. He's walking away from the mainstream, from the people, from the a lifestyle which is enabled to enjoy the pleasures of this world. And another scholar says he's doing a great thing. Look, withdrawal from the world is a very positive thing. I find this fascinating because this argument is picked up later in life, later in history, I mean, by two medieval scholars. Let's start with the Rambam. Rambam in the 12th century, Maimonides. And Maimonides says the following. Let me quote to you from the Rambam. He says, a person might say, and here he's quoting Pirkei Avot, that since jealousy and lusting or desire and honor take a person out of this world and they are a bad way, maybe I will keep away from these things totally and I will go to the other extreme. I won't eat meat. I won't drink wine. I won't get married. I won't have a nice home. I won't wear beautiful clothes. I'll just dress in sackcloth. He says, for example, like monks who wear harsh material. He says, this is a path of evil, and one may not walk in this path. Somebody who goes in this path is called a sinner, because we say with the Nazirite, with the Nazir, that he has to atone for his sins. And the rabbis say, anybody who withdraws himself even from wine needs atonement all the more so, somebody who denies himself from further things. And he says, quotes another rabbinic statement which says to the Jew, is it not enough that which the Torah has forbidden you, that you're trying to invent new things? The Rambam here is offering us a perspective which embraces this world. We have enough laws and regulations in Judaism. We don't need to add to them. The Torah has allowed us certain things. It has allowed us family life. It has allowed us to enjoy food as long as it's kosher. It allows us to wear clothes as long as we keep the various laws of modesty and sha'atnez, not to have wool and linen in our clothing. Other than that, we're allowed to have the most stylish suits. We're allowed to have the finest wines. We're allowed to enjoy life. Maimonides, by the way, seems to say that there are many instances in which leisure activities can enhance a person's psychological well-being and can improve us as human beings. And many people take the Rambam's perspective as their lodestar, and they indeed practice this, and they say, as long as I am keeping kosher and obeying all the laws, you know, whatever vacations, whatever luxuries, this is what I want. An opposite opinion. In fact, let me even say more than that. It's not just what I want. It's that God has given us a beautiful world. God has given us these pleasures in this world. We should take them as blessings. When we eat food, we say a blessing and we celebrate the fact that God has made beautiful aromas, that God has made wonderful foods, that God has created amazing natural phenomena. And when we go and we travel the world and we tour and we see what an incredible natural world, what an incredible variety of human beings and cultures God has created, for all of this, we actually have blessings that we are allowed to say. In the opposite corner stands the Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, a scholar originally from Italy, who made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. He's a scholar who lived in the 1700s in the 18th century, a mystic. And it's fascinating that the Ramchal takes exactly the opposite view of the Rambam. This is in his famous work, one of the classics of the Musar movement, the movement which believed in being very harsh on oneself and working exceedingly hard on ethical improvement, a movement championed by Rav Yisrael Salanter. And one of its chief works is Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto's book, Mesilat Yisharim, The Path of the Just, maybe it's called sometimes. And the way Mesilat Yisharim is built, the book, is that there are, gives us a series of steps in order to achieve perfection. And somewhere in the middle of that is the value of prishut, of withdrawal, of refraining, of practicing austerity, abstinence. And the Ramchal defends his position with the rabbinic phrase, Kadesh Atzmecha B'Mutar Lach. You achieve sanctity when you refrain from things, even that which is allowed to you by the Torah, but you go a step ahead. And he says that is what it means that when I recommend withdrawal, I mean withdrawal from even things that you're allowed. How does he explain himself? Before I quoted from Maimonides, now I'll quote from the Ramchal. He says, it is very clear to us that all of this world is merely a test for human beings. And he says, because human beings are so weak, we have to escape from all of these things so that we can guard ourselves from the evil which is at our feet. He says, there is no pleasure, no worldly pleasure, which will not draw after it sin. And here's his example, Derech Mashal, he says. The example is food and drink. He says, food and drink, even if they're cleansed from any manner of kashrut problem, it's glut kosher. He says, when a person fills their belly, this brings all sorts of terrible things. A person will throw off themselves the yoke of Judaism. And what does he mean by this? He says, when a person gets used to eating fine foods and fine wines, when he finds that he won't be able to find that standard of eating, he's oversensitized. It will hurt him. Because of that, he goes to work harder to improve his income so he can afford all of these things. And he gets involved in a spirit of materialism so that his table is beautifully endowed with beautiful crockery and cutlery and fine foods. And then he says, what comes under that is possibly a monetary indiscretion as a person tries to become more and more wealthy. A person gets so involved in their career that they keep away from extra Torah learning and from spending time in prayer. And so you see that somebody who is involved in just eating and drinking, even if it is perfectly kosher, is entering into a sort of avalanche of sin. He gives a good another example where he talks about clothing and decor. And he says, clothing and decor, even if they're fully allowed, even if you endow them with tzitzit, he says, this leads you to excess pride. And clothing can sometimes involve in a certain flirtatious behavior or in a person showing off, etc., etc. And he finishes off by saying, we see that everything in this world are huge dangers. Who would not want to keep away from this worldly pleasures? And his final proof is the Nazarite. The Nazarite is considered to be holy because he refrains from wine. He does say, and I have to point out, that, of course, a person is not allowed to harm themselves. A person isn't allowed to starve themselves. A person shouldn't wear clothing which actually hurts. But living the simple life is what he's looking for, and that's what he goes for. And his inspiration is the Nazir. A person who is called holy, a person who is called a Nazir because it represents a crown, this is a person who decides that he's not going to be like other people and he's going to withdraw from wine. This is a fascinating argument, and when I teach this to my students here at Paradise and in other places in which I teach, I can always see them getting very, very edgy when they hear the Ramchal. Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato seems so archaic, so medieval. We don't live that world. We live a world, thank God, now when we embrace life and we celebrate that which is to be celebrated. And this ascetism that he represents seems exceedingly harsh. His negative view on everything, on all of reality, on all of our contemporary environment. And we live in an exceedingly commerce-filled, materialistic age is sometimes very, very difficult to swallow. And people do tend towards the Rambam. Now here, we're lucky, because whichever view we take, we have someone to support us. But I'd like to suggest that as in many cases in Judaism, when we have an argument, when we have a machloket of this type, we should take a look at each of them in a sort of dialectical way and try and draw what we can out of each view. There is no doubt that I lead my life far more according to Maimonides, and I don't think there's anything wrong with having a wonderful bottle of wine on my Shabbat table. And I, like anybody else, appreciate being able to live in a home that is nicely furnished and not to live in stark surroundings. But when I read the Ramchal, I read Mesilat Yesharim, I think it should be a very telling critique on our contemporary society. Just recently, I was, it's got springtime, the summer, and we're out in the garden, and I was thinking how our garden furniture maybe needs improvement, and I was looking and thinking of spending thousands of shekels on our garden furniture, and then I thought to myself, it's not really something we need. We don't use it half the year anyway, and the stuff we've got is perfectly good. And anyway, my children like sitting on the grass. And not everything that I have around my house always needs to be in perfection. And, you know, maybe I'll go and I'll take an extra job or work extra hours in order to be able to afford that particular furniture. But that'll be a couple of hours that I'm not spending with my family. And maybe spending time with my family is a far more important priority. And sometimes we do have this sense that the Ramchal is talking about, that there seems to be a conveyor belt which drags us along to all sorts of things which the world seems to tell us that we need. And sometimes the message of the Nazir, which is to withdraw from the rat race, to withdraw from the inexorable pace of the commercials which are telling us everything that we need, and maybe to take a look inwards, to sometimes take maybe what I will say is even, if I take the first view, a remedial detox moment, to take a look at ourselves and ask ourselves, well, let's stand a little bit on the outside society, like a Nazir. Maybe the Nazir looks a little strange with his long hair. Maybe he looks a little weird, and therefore he stands apart from society, and he can be a critic on society and some of its tendencies. And maybe we too can think about the Ramchal and ask ourselves, well, when are there things which are perfectly allowed to us, but maybe we'd be better not to indulge. Maybe we'd be better to hold back and to say, sometimes Kadesh Atzmecha b'mutar lach, even though I can do it, that shouldn't be my top priority, because I should address other priorities in life. So this is something which has been, for me, food for thought in the world that we live in. And these are two perspectives on the Nazir. As I say, this is an argument which stretches from the cues which are taken from the Torah. Is the Nazir a sinner, or is he holy? This is picked up in the time of the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar HaKapar arguing with Rabbi Elazar, and this is picked up in medieval times with the Rambam, and later with the Ramchal, who is arguing with him, and I think that it's a highly relevant discussion for our contemporary age. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Rabbi Israel. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.